Welcome to the Belfast Men's Health Group podcast with Joe Donnelly. Joe's the CEO of Tommy, which is a mental health charity based in Northern Ireland that works with sports clubs and groups, and it uses sport to raise awareness of mental health and resilience. Tommy also works, as I said, with sports clubs, schools, youth groups to make mental health fun and engaging, and they're based up in North Belfast. So, Joe, thanks very much for agreeing to talk to us. But before we get into anything about what you do and about Tommy and all the rest of it, tell us a wee bit about yourself, a wee bit about your background, your influences, or even how would you describe yourself?
How would I describe myself, Paul? Right. Friend in the office are laughing at me. Yeah. uptight. easily frustrated. Really handsome, good dancer. In a nutshell, mate, sort of quite laid back, quite chilled out. Dedicated to my job because I'm motivated by loss. That's where we started Tommy, after losing a friend. Mm-hmm. Almost Tommy Tucker McLaughlin to suicide. So it's a motivation and a drive to try and prevent that happening to anybody else. It's the thing that motivates me. I'm a Man U fan. My life revolves around sort of football. If I'm not watching it, I'm taking my kids to it. So I'm a football dad. But all in all, just basically a nice laid back chilled out guy. Loves his sport. Loves physical activity. Loves supporting Manchester United. Loves supporting his family. And just all around good guy. That's probably in a nutshell.
Very good, very good. Did you have any mentors or anything, Joe, growing up, or heroes, or anybody that inspired you that you can think of?
Well, it did, actually. We always coin this. It's a phrase in the office. You're not a product of your environment. You're the product of the choices you make. And it's right from North Belfast, New Lodge area, North Belfast, one of the most depraved areas in Northern Ireland, and an area where it could have been very easily to basically make bad choices and go down a bad path. But inspirational people, when I was growing up, would have been my football coach. Mm-hmm. Basically, the fellow who would have basically, back then, you get a slap in the head, basically, for being bad. That wasn't a table tactic. Yes. But honest and transparent about sort of, you play it well, well done it, man. Something you didn't play well, so you need to take it, learn from it, and adjust your attitude and come back prepared the week after, which was something which always put me in good stead. And then I would say the youth workers in the New Lodge area were always fantastic in terms of the impact they had on me, facilitating positive activities, positive experiences, and for the love of me, I can't recall their names, but I can see their faces. There's loads of them. Mm. Anto was one. Terry Mulvana would have been one that you looked up to. And then obviously, being a Man U fan, you look over your heroes over the ages, like Cantona, the Ronaldo when he came the first time, your Rooney's, really got a Solskjaer in the cup final, which is a night I'll never forget. Mm. Those type of football influences. Like I said, sport has been a big part of my life since I grew up as a goalkeeper. Not a very good one, but I was always in between the sticks. And I've always had positive relationships with my teammates. And then as I went into later life, unfortunately my finger got broke. So don't do that anymore, coach.
Yeah.
But I'm still involved in the sport that I'm passionate about. So sport would have been a big influence on my life.
Yeah.
Keep me in a positive trajectory.
Mm. What about school, Joe? Did you like school?
I love school. No, don't get me wrong. Certain subjects I didn't like, certain teachers I didn't like, and coincidentally are the grades that I didn't get the highest mark in. Mm-hmm. But I was basically smart enough. I done my GCSEs. I went through school really well. I was looked after and respected by the teachers because I give them the respect that they deserve back. So it was a two-way relationship. I've nothing but fond memories of both primary and especially post-primary. And then I went to university and stuff and had a real positive experience. So I've had nothing bad in terms of education. I've got a viewpoint on it that sort of doesn't benefit everyone, but my educational experience was quite good. And that was a motivation by my mother. She was always, look, they'll teach you things I can't teach you. So you have two choices, listen or don't. But you don't want to end up basically struggling in life. So basically they're not there to not against you. Just go ahead and keep your head down, pay attention. If you don't like a teacher, just say nothing, get through the class. But if you do, basically put your effort into that group. So I was very good at art. I was very good at technology. I was very good at English. horrendous at maths, mm-hmm. but I got it. But that's what I mean. It's that sort of...
Yeah.
It's that school was a positive experience for me.
And then getting on to your work. Tommy, what? First of all, what does Tommy stand for? I introduced it and I deliberately didn't say what it stands for. You can tell us what it stands for and how you get into that sort of mental health work.
Well, it's tackling awareness of mental health issues. It's named after my friend Tommy Tucker McLachlan, who died by suicide at 19. And we were doing fundraisers in, so it was 2009, he passed. And in 2010, we were doing a fundraiser for local mental health charity Lighthouse, who supported his family through the bereavement. And clubs at that time were playing an Irish football tournament and coming to me saying, you've got this player with this issue, you've got this player with this. And all I was doing was just signposting. And then they were wanting to give information that the clubs, this is how Tommy came about, was people didn't want to take information from local mental health groups because there was almost a stigma associated with lifting mental health information that there would have been something wrong with you. Mm-hmm. And you're going back basically 2011, so
yeah.
You can sort of fathom that back then there was a lot of stigma. I would say there's been big improvements basically 11 years on, but back then it was shame to be associated with mental health. So I started a wee project with two clubs, and all I did was take mental health information that was readily available, create flyers and information and put their logo on it.
Mm-hmm.
And what we found was people were lifting it because it was Pierce's Gillie Club. It was coming from a source that they looked up to, respected and trusted.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, lifting a Pierce's information about mental health is completely different than lifting something from like Lighthouse, Pips or Tommy. Because that's a mental health leaflet. The thing coming from Pierce's is something coming from the club. That's the club showing leadership to show the message. Mm-hmm. And then from then, it basically steamrolled. Started more clubs started coming on board. I was working with... 8 clubs in the New Lodge are in a project called Changemakers, where I work with individuals to raise awareness, and it was great. Feedback was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Independent evaluation carried out in 6 of the 8 groups. It really basically excelled in the impact we wanted to achieve. And then it provided a platform in 2014. I went full time.
Mm-hmm.
But then sadly in 2014 I lost my stepfather to suicide that year, which was tough.
Mm-hmm.
But again, that experience, the support I got, the counselling services and Lighthouse, and the messaging around, look, when it comes to mental health, you're, again, sports analogy, you're working in a field. Right? So when you walk on the field of play, you have 23 variables. You have the 22 players, you have the referee, you have the weather, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't control any other person's performance but your own. But your performance can basically inspire people to basically follow suit and bounce off your energy, or can make you basically regress and like feel defeated. So my counsellor gave me an analogy, like whenever my stepfather died, I blamed myself for that. At the end of his life, like, you know, mm-hmm. When I went to try and fame him, I went the wrong way. I went right, he went left, and I always beat myself up about that. But she says, look, you walk on the field of play, the only performance you can control your own. And then she gave me all things that I did and says that's positive things that you did, the variables that you could not control.
Mm-hmm.
His son had died, that's what triggered him to basically go off the rails a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Biological son. He says, you couldn't control that. You couldn't control the life support machine, couldn't get turned off, you couldn't control the family conflict. So everything you did, you talked, you listened, you cared, you connected, you were there for him during a difficult time. And just that one incident, which was something that you had nothing to do with or no control over, prompted him to want to end his life. And then from it, I've actually used that analogy to sport clubs to say, look, all we're doing is constantly walking on the field to play every single day, and all we're going to do is try our best. If we keep trying our best and inspire others, we're going to win more than we lose.
Mm-hmm.
That's the mentality to get into them, and that's sort of the basis of our work. And like I said, we started working with 2 clubs, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 129 on our system now.
Wow.
We're going over to showcase our work to the Man U Foundation here in February. We're working with the Irish Football Association. We co-designed our programme, which is delivered Northern Ireland wide. We've just worked with the IFA, Inspire Wellbeing. We've created a new bespoke youth mental health programme. So the wee project sort of 12 years ago, basically that's where the trajectory is taking it to. We're an organisation, we're well established in North Belfast, we're well respected in North Belfast, but we have a Northern Ireland wide reach. And then through our network, we're actually supporting Sported UK to replicate some of our work in United Kingdom, were down talking to the Mental Health Commissioner, John Farley, the Republic of Ireland, about doing pockets of work in there. We're linking up an organisation called GAMCAR. So you can sort of take where an idea and a concept of making it about a club to a club has basically has been really successful. And it's now basically spiraled to the point where we can't meet the man because we're so popular, but that's not a bad thing sometimes.
That's massive, Joe. I mean, North Belfast having a couple of clubs, now 129 clubs, and then working with Man U sort of foundation, working with the IFA, going, taking it potentially into the rest of the UK and down south to the Republic. That is unbelievable. That's magnificent. Absolutely magnificent. Fair play to you. So, what... You've given me a wee bit of advice that you would give the man and boys. What how do you look after yourself, Nigel? Physically, mentally, what do you do?
What I do, well, I'm not going to be a hypocrite and say I'm perfect. Definitely not. We're lucky to basically be, our office is beside a gym, and the gym lad will use the gym for free. So I make a point to try and get at least three. I mean, 10 a week into the gym. Because I do enjoy the gym. It's just sometimes you know yourself and everybody will back me up here, especially men. It's just when you're busy, it's getting that time, especially if you have a family, man. So I do try and get to the gym 3 times a week. And like I says, I will religiously, with support of the family, I watch every single sort of Man U match that I can, which is basically just taking a bit of time just to chill out, either go down and watch it socially with friends, or else just basically watch it in the house by myself and just take the time out from the kids and the family and just sit and watch football. Because like I said, that's what I'm passionate about and that's what I love. And then I learned a lesson over sort of COVID. Work-life balance is really important. So I do genuinely, whenever I leave work, I do tune off. Now, I've got my time sort of managed a bit better where I've got dedicated late nights to are in the calendar, then I know that I'm working and I don't mind. But what I do is those late nights, if I'm working late nights, I make the provision to make a bit of time. But if it's not overtime, it's just normal time, a flexible time, I make sure I get that time back. Because historically, I would have worked late nights at no family benefit or no benefit to anyone other than the organisation, and I never got the time back. So I was just basically working 50 to 60 hours a week. I took a good long hard look at myself and I do 37 and a half hours. That's what I'm there to do. But I make provision that basically make the time work for me rather than me work for the time. So if I'm out every Wednesday night, I'm out, and what I would do is I would knock off a bit early on a Tuesday and take a child swimming. So I'm not losing that, that experience of engagement with my family. So where I would have historically would have done is I would have took swimming somewhere else and I wouldn't have done it, and then I would have been working 2-3 late nights a week and missing time with my family, because you only grow up once. So it's about work-life balance. It's about appreciating what I've got. It's about, the other thing is working in collaboration with my team to make sure that the work we're taking on, like I says, we did grow, but we're basically being very smart in terms of how we work with them. We've got a new app and all coming out, so we can work with things groups centrally rather than having to go and visit 129 groups. I can send 129 groups material. Children's Mental Health Weeks next week, so I'll be sending them all out. Stuff just goes out through one central point. They all share it, they all deliver our games, and then they all feedback that it's done rather than me having to go and do 129 visits. Which a couple of years ago I would have done 129 visits and run myself into the ground doing it. But now it's about basically working smarter. Making time for my own physical health, taking time out to do, and that's what I am passionate about, watching football. That's what I've always been passionate about since I was a child. And then I love going to watch my kids play sport. That's something I'm very passionate about. And I do coach disability sport on a Monday night. My child has autism, so I coach disability sport. And when I'm doing it, I try and make sure nothing interferes with it. And it makes me feel good about myself too, because I'm still spending time with my kid, but I'm doing something constructive to get him healthy. What's out there? It's
my many's in the team, Joe. Many's in Tommy.
Paul, there's three of us, three actual workers, and then we've got a number of coaches that we sort of bring in, but they're just basically as and when we get like specific work.
They're
all year round, because we're very good at getting sort of grants to do projects, but they're not sort of like tied to Tommy in terms of like redundancy and all that. They're just they come as as and when we have to work for them. A small team making a big difference, I would describe it as.
So you've given me, you've answered how can people get in touch with you, Joe? Where can people find you? That's what I wanted.
If you actually look at our social media, Paul, that's the one thing my board members always say. You always know we as artists, our social media is alive. We post every single day where we are. We actually have a bit of a quiet week this week because we're getting ready for Children's Mental Health Week next week. You contact us for our internet site, support@tommy.org is our main sort of email address. The website, www.tommy.org, has all our telephone details and stuff. And like it says, if you were a typical club or group looking to contact us, what we would do is we would get you to register. We would make a fully customized mental health and emotional wellbeing toolkit for your club with your logos, graphics, and colours.
Brilliant.
We then basically put you on our new app, which is hopefully going live this week, where you then log on and click on your logo. So, let's see, Paul FC. You would just go on the R app and click on Paul FC's logo. There'd be a full toolkit there. There'd be links to all free mental health training. There'll be links. We're getting a map made where you click on your council area. It'll tell you all the services that are available in that area. And basically, it's the Z card, but we're trying to do it in a nice fancy way. And then we're starting to do a bit of work around. We're talking to mental health groups and saying, look, what do you do? Who do you serve and how do you access it? But like question you've asked us. So we can communicate that out to groups, and then they can hopefully sort of like start reaching out and accessing. I'll give you an example. I've done a training program recently for our club, and they've since been on talking about two players need help and support. I've given them advice and guidance, and I've just got feedback back that the two players are now down accessing that support.
Brilliant.
And that's the simplicity of it. The one thing that they like from the course was I says, look, sometimes you get a player that doesn't want to open up their mental health group in the locality because at that stage it's stranger danger. You don't know the organisation, but if you won't ring in advance and say, look, my name's Joe, I'm calling from Joe AFC, and I've got a player, her name is Joanna. I'm just keeping it all in Joe for GDPR purposes, completely fabricated, made up characters. And this is what she's told us. And then they'll phone and say, well, look, if you phone in and ask for Jolene, right, or Jane, right, then when you go back to that person, you can say, look, I've spoke to them. They're expecting your call, and you're going to phone this organization, and you're going to ask to speak to a person, not a receptionist, not someone that's going to try and connect you. The person is expecting your call. It opens up that sort of, it removes a barrier in itself for fear to access. And then when you phone in and ask to speak to Jolene, Jolene's, hello, I was talking to Joe, and Joe said this, can you come in? And then you've supported someone. Support the access well. And so, and that does our home methodology has been based on, and that's what I tell it. Any groups that I work with, clubs, is make the relationships with your local mental health group, have personal contacts in them, as in people you know by name. Phone those people in advance, tell them you've got a player with X, Y, and Z. And when the player basically reaches out, that they know exactly who they're talking to. And that has basically been a godsend for our whole approach.
Brilliant. Right, Joe, I think we've come to the time, the sort of finish of the podcast. What I will say is, once you've got your app up and going, you send that through to us, and we in the Belfast Men's Health Group will push it far and wide as we can. And sort of on a lighter note, Brian's looking at me here, and he's not smiling at all at the Man United stuff. You know, I am, because I'm a United man, but Mr. Lachlan here, he's not happy.
Have you seen, Paul? I'll send you the details. You've seen the Legends match we're having.
You know, send me the details, Joe. Please do.
I'll send you the details. We have Manchester United Legends. So we've got so far come over the play in June. We've got Paul Parker, Carl Poborski, Brian McClure, Keith Gillespie, Ian Martin, Clayton Blackmore, and
all names from the past.
Sammy Magal, right? And then we actually got them playing against Shane Todd.
Yes.
They're playing Shane Todd, Bunter Castles. There's a load of comedians playing, and then we've got Batman, Spider-Man playing against them. So it'll be like a, big fun day up at Solitude. I'll send you the details.
Please
all
do, yes, 100%. Joe, that was great, and thanks very much.
No problem. Thank you very much. And this is keep me posting all the mental health stuff. Good job you're doing, all right, buddy.
Well indeed. Thank you, Joe. Take care. All the best. Bye. Now, bye.